Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, that is us, Aaron Torres, Arnie Spanier, right here on Fox Sports Radio. You heard the man. In for Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon. Really, we're sitting in for Colin Coward. They didn't want to say that, but Gottlieb filled in for Coward. Mike Harmon and Jason Smith filled in for Gottlieb. We're filling in for them, so technically we're filling in for Colin.
There you go.
They can't keep ducking us.
Sooner or later,
we've got to fill in for Colin.
I mean, according to you, we're doing it right now.
I mean, it'd be nice to get in an early show in. What, noon to 3? That's perfect timing for me. I don't have to get up too early. You know, I could have a late breakfast and kind of works out good for me there, you know?
So finally, what we need to admit here is that people who do not listen to our Saturday show.
Yes.
You and I are huge in prisons. That is a proven fact.
That's a fact. Yeah.
It's a fact that can't be disproven.
No.
And then on top of that, you are the king. I mean, Ben Maller's the king, but you're like the prince of late night, basically. Like, the bosses can't put you on before 2 a.m. I mean, everybody knows.
I'm not to be trusted, they said.
Yes, that sounds like the Arnie Spanier that I know. Absolutely. Yes.
I'm not to be trusted to be on any earlier. Like all the other guys, like all the other fill-in guys, I can't go on because you don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. I'm so dangerous, I guess.
You know, I need to give you credit on something because something came out of your mouth about 8 months ago.
Oh, wow. Please tell me.
And I'm not a cancel culture kind of guy, but I demanded your resignation that day.
Yes.
And I was 1,000% wrong.
Yeah.
It was the day in probably about September, August, October of last year when you said, you know what? I bet at some point they'll have vaccination at the park night. And I said, what? And DeSager was with us. He could attest
to this. You thought that was like a terrible thing to say on the air.
I thought it was a terrible thing to say on air. We were still in the throes of this pandemic.
Yes.
And so for it to come full circle, and there are vaccination nights at the park. Oh, by the way, I saw today that Walmart, Trader Joe's, a lot of other places aren't requiring masks. So
good for them. Good.
So it has come full circle. But amongst the craziest things that you've said that has actually come true, that was one that would have worried the bosses and kept you off of air before 11 p.m. Eastern time that ended up actually coming true.
By the way, do you feel better now? Do you feel like we're behind all this because of, you know, most people are not going to be wearing masks. I'm still a week away from my second shot. My wife got her second shot today, so I feel like I'm in the minority. I'm not far away, but I feel like most people are just going to toss away their masks and we're going to go back to normal now, you know?
We will see. I actually, not that America cares, I'm getting my second shot next week as well. So, but no, listen, in all seriousness, I am glad that I do think we're past it. And if you've been following Major League Baseball, weirdly, college baseball, I've been seeing a lot of the SEC schools have 100% capacity, which means to me that feels pretty good that SEC football games, at the very least, you know, the Texas schools, they'll have full fans in the stands, the Cowboys, the Texans, on and on. So to answer your question, yes, I believe we are officially finally moving past all this.
All right, Aaron, the Rockets lead the Clippers 112-101. Wow, I bring that up because we look at the playoff standings. Right now, the Clippers are in the number 3 seed. If they lose this game, they'll probably end up in the number 3 seed. Denver has one more loss than them. So, well, if the Clippers lose this, they could go to the number 4 seed. I desperately want to see the Clippers and the Lakers play in round one. I think the Lakers can catch Portland if Portland loses to Denver on the final night of the regular season on Sunday. If it doesn't happen, the Lakers drop to number 7 and they'll play in the play-in game. But man, would I love to see Clippers-Lakers in that first round, you know?
Absolutely. And to me, first of all, yes, I would love to see it. That is the most interesting kind of subplot of these playoffs is imagine being, say, the Phoenix Suns. First playoff appearance in forever. You and I debated the other day, should Chris Paul be the MVP? But independent, he has been awesome this year. And what is your reward for your best season in a decade plus? You could get the Lakers in round one.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah. Well, you could get the Lakers in round one, but every game is going to be, every series is going to be tough in the Western Conference. It's a great race. Right now, the Clippers and the Nuggets separated by a half a game. We'll see if the Clippers lose this game. They'll be absolutely tied now for that three spot. Portland just a half game ahead of the Lakers. Anthony Davis and LeBron still not going to come back from what we hear for the last game, for the next game. I don't know if they'll come back for any of the regular season games. Is LeBron still hurt, or is he just resting up for the playoffs? Is there something we don't know here, or what's going on, Torres?
There is a mounting argument and case of evidence that maybe there is something going on bigger here than we realize. And the reason I bring it up is because, first of all, first major injury for forever in LeBron, maybe of his entire career. On top of that, you have him saying, I'll never be 100% again, which was a very bizarre thing to say. He hasn't come back yet. He hasn't played yet. And on the one hand, I get it. It's about the playoffs. It's about being ready to go when the games matter the most. But on the flip side, it's kind of what we've been talking about with the Nets forever. Is at some point, you do have to come back, play with the boys, get more comfortable with your surroundings and all that stuff. And so I'd be lying if I said I wasn't starting to become a little bit worried that this is maybe a little bit bigger than is being let on.
Oh, you see, I think people have it confused. I think people think when we talk about LeBron James, we're not talking about Tom Brady, okay? Tom Brady's a one-of-a-kind athlete that's won when he's a lot older. It's done for LeBron James. You're never going to see
him. Ever.
Oh, it's over. You didn't know that? Am I breaking news? The yes. Sager breaking news. I mean, come on now. It's over for him. You're never going to see him in an NBA Finals again. It's
Doesn't
OV.
This be...
Go ahead.
Finish. ER.
It's OVER for LeBron. It is done because, one, he has the Lakers in the number seven seed. Yes, I understand he missed a lot of games, but the West is so stinking tough. Two, like you said, he's never going to be 100%. Three, he's just getting older and older in the grind of a full season. It's taken its toll. Plus, of all the minutes he played earlier in the year, it's just over for LeBron. He had a great career, but you're never going to see him in the finals again.
Wow, just throwing dirt on his grave. And you see, people that aren't familiar with you, you were probably saying this for Tom Brady for what, at least a decade?
Right now.
Are you? He just won a Super Bowl.
I think I said it after the Patriots
Panthers in 2004, you probably said.
After the Patriots lost to Kansas City. Remember that game?
Sure.
I think it was week one or week two or something like that. We were like, oh, Tom Brady's done. He's done. He's finished. So I think I said it back then, but I really believe LeBron is done. It is over for LeBron because he's not 100%. And two, he plays on a good team with Anthony Davis, but he can't stay healthy either. So I think there's a lot of better teams in the Western Conference.
See, I'm not sold for a few reasons. One, this was such a bizarre year. Their season didn't end, as we know, until whatever it was, late September, early October.
Right.
It's worth mentioning that the team that they beat in the finals, the Miami Heat, have been a little bit disappointing this year. And so give him a full offseason. Let him get back healthy. I believe that he will be fine. The bigger question is a number of different variables. One, what you said, Anthony Davis, can he stay healthy? And it's something that a lot of people have talked about, so I'm not trying to take credit as it's an original thought, but was any team helped more by the extended break for a fragile player like Anthony Davis last year? But two, you tell me the West is tough. If you're the Lakers, LeBron, I mean, is it? Are you scared of Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz? Are you scared of
the
Clippers?
Well, why wouldn't you be? They're the best team in the NBA. What's wrong with you?
They have the best record in the NBA. Yeah. We'll find out if they're the best team in the NBA.
Make them the best team there, big boy.
I don't know about that. They lost in the first round of the playoffs last year. They got plenty of time to rest. They're playing well. I give them credit. They're a fun team. I like them. I have no problem with them. Donovan Mitchell is one of the really fun young players in this league. I'm not sold on them. I ain't sold on the Suns. The Clippers have never made it past the second round, as we all know. I'm not sold the West is quite as tough as you're making it out.
Who has the most pressure on them this year? It's got to be the Clippers, right? I mean, well, Brooklyn, too.
Yeah.
I mean, who has more, one or the other? But Kawhi Leonard, you can't bow out again, especially after you bowed out last year when you had a 3-1 lead against Denver, and you choked that one away. You can't do that again. Now that LeBron's hurt, the Lakers are down at the number 7 spot. You've got to go ahead and win it this year. Otherwise, I don't know when they'll ever win it, you know?
Well, you said the Clippers. You said the wrong player, though. Paul George. I mean, you're trying...
Playoff Paul?
Playoff P, you've been trying to sell me that this guy is a superstar for a while. Obviously, he had some good years early on with Indiana, but then obviously from there he went to Oklahoma City, had the weird thing with Westbrook, all that stuff. I would say, as a team, I still think there's more pressure on the Nets. They're still not the prohibitive favorite, but they are the favorite going in. You have these three guys. If it doesn't work in the playoffs, I'll tell you who else I think has a little bit of pressure, maybe not as much, is the Bucks. I mean,
that's true.
And they're not a favorite. Nobody expects them to win. But if Giannis,
they're only a game behind the Brooklyn Nets and. They could easily be a top two. Don't go and say, and after the way they bowed out the last couple of years, there is some pressure on them.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. I think there's a ton of pressure on them to at least get further. They've made the changes. Giannis is there for the long term. But it's been two straight years where we have seen that there is a very specific game plan that works against Giannis in the playoffs. And so, you know, the NBA stat nerds, and you know, we're going to have Kurt Heelan on in a minute, and I love him. His coverage is incredible. But some of these NBA stat nerds, they try to sell me Giannis is he's a really good player. He is not, to me, KD. He is not LeBron. He is not even Kawhi in the sense that he's an incredibly talented player, but there is a very definitive game plan to beat him. Let's see as time goes on, as he matures. Every player has gone through this at one point in their career. LeBron, Michael Jordan, we all watched The Last Dance. So it's not as though no one has been through this before, but at a certain point, Giannis, if you're a two-time MVP like you are, you got to step up and show us how good you're capable of being.
Who would you rather be, the Milwaukee Bucks and have the best offense scoring 120 points a game, or be a team like maybe Utah giving up 107 points a game and having a better defense? What's going to win it this year, offense or defense, when it comes to the NBA playoffs?
Well, the Brooklyn Nets are the favorite in Vegas right now, and so
right.
To me,
that's because they got the big three. That's why.
Yeah, but it's all based on offense, and so I think it's a changing game. Obviously, you do have to play some defense. But you got to be able to go score for score. And that, to me, in a lot of ways, it kind of reminds me of an NCAA tournament where the NCAA tournament, at some point, you're just going to get into a game where you got to put up points. And the teams that can't score, like Virginia a few years ago when they got upset, you're just not going to win the tournament. And so I look at this year in the playoffs, you got to be able to play enough defense. But at some point, you're going to go against the Brooklyn Nets. You're going to go against the Milwaukee Bucks. You're going to go against one of those elite offensive teams. And you have to be able to go score for score. So to me, I think offense is more important in this era of the NBA.
Just to let you know, I'll be taking some time off.
Okay.
When the Knicks win the championship, I'll be driving down to New York. And
okay.
I'm going to the parade and stuff like that. I'll call into the show if you'd like from the parade. But I'll be down in New York for the extravaganza.
So then why are we talking about who could win? Who's that? You already told me who's going to win. It's the New York Knicks.
Yeah, my New York Knicks. I so desperately want to play Brooklyn in the first round. I really do. I hope Brooklyn drops down to the number 3 seed, the Knicks stay at the number 6 seed, and we end up playing Brooklyn in the first round. I want a piece of them badly, you know?
Well, it is funny because if you remember, we spent a year, KD and Kyrie to the Knicks, it's done,
yeah,
it's this.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen, but you know who they used that money on instead, right?
Yeah, I do.
Julius Randle, superstar.
Worked out good. Best
Worked
guy
out.
In the NBA. No, I'm just
They're telling me he's somebody's trying to claim he's the MVP. I don't know if I buy that, but he's certainly the MVP of that team. And I'll tell you, you know, Tibbs is, it's interesting. Tibbs, he has a track record. At a certain point, he's going to wear the guys out, and they're going to stop listening. But, man, do they play hard for him right now, and we'll see if they can continue that in the playoffs.
They do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
All right, good evening, everyone. Aaron Torres, Arnie Spanier, in for Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon. Busy Friday night. You want to get in, Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. I want to get right to our guest, lead NBA writer and manager at Pro Basketball Talk. You could tweet him at Basketball Talk. It's Kurt Heelan. Kurt, the Clippers are going to lose to the Rockets of all teams. I know Kawhi not playing, Paul George not playing. Did it not make a difference if the Clippers lose? It's like they wanted to lose, so they have no way to match up against the Lakers in the first round. What's going on here?
The Clippers have frustrated me all season. It's like earlier in the week, people were asking, I'm talking to people around the league a lot, actually, just because I'm trying to get opinions on award ballot. And I'm like, they're like, well, who are you picking going to pick to come out of the playoffs in the West? I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, maybe right now, if I had to choose one team, I'd take the field over them, but I'd probably choose the Clippers. They're playing the best. They've got all this talent. And even without their guys, they do nights like this, and you're like, I watched part of that game, I'm like, I don't know that this team is right. Yeah, I just don't know. I just feel like I'm betting on the wrong horse, which I'll do tomorrow plenty. But like, you know, yeah. I feel like I'm not. I really, I guess it's a good thing. For the first time in a long time, we go into the playoffs like, there's no way somebody's catching the Durant Warriors or LeBron in Miami or whatever it is. I genuinely don't know who's coming out of these conferences.
You just took the words right out of my mouth, Kurt. How many teams do you think legitimately can win an NBA title in this year?
Six. I know that there's people who will say more, but I kind of think the number's six. I think in the West it's Utah and the two Los Angeles teams. I'm not a believer in Phoenix yet. Just they haven't been there. They haven't done it. And I don't mean Chris Paul and them. I mean Devin Booker's actually never been in a playoff game. DeAndre Ayton's never been in a playoff game. I believe that there is a rite of passage kind of in the NBA about learning how to win in the postseason. And you can take that from team to team. LeBron can bring that to the Lakers, but somebody has to earn that. And I just don't think they have yet. And Denver without Jamal Murray, I don't think they're going to be able to handle it. And in the East, it's one of the big three. So I think it's one of those six. It comes away with the title, but I mean, this late in the season, we were normally talking about, well, it's these three, and it's never six, so it's going to be fascinating.
What's going on with LeBron? He said he's never going to be 100%. Is he just going to sit out the last two games to get every bit of rest in with Anthony Davis? Is he still hurt? Did he come back a little too early and tweak something up here? I don't know what's going on with him anymore.
I think he might have come back a little early. I think, look, we all know this just from us having done it on the playground, right? Like, or playground games or other sports. Ankle sprains are one of those things where you think you're okay.
Yeah.
Then you get back out there and you make a cut and you're like, no, okay, well, that was a mistake. Like, it's just not all the way back yet. You come back. I think there was a little of that. He started to get soreness. He missed a few games. Look, here's what I'm hearing. He and Anthony Davis will both be on the court tomorrow night. Lakers are trying to get a little bit of chemistry in. And as long as, look, if they win out, then it puts pressure on Portland to win their last game on Sunday, or the Lakers can get out of the play-in. So
yeah.
They have motive to actually show up and play tomorrow, and they're playing the Pacers team that's been awful, and then I say they're awful, and they've actually won a couple of nice games lately. So, you know, we'll see.
Kurt, you just mentioned a minute ago the idea that there is kind of a rite of passage where you have to kind of go through the hardships, maybe at least as an individual, if not as a team. And you also said that, but you also said on the flip side that you believe that both Philly and Utah, which would be the one seeds if the playoffs started today, you believe can win the championship. Now, to be clear, you didn't say they will. But so where are you on the spectrum with those two specifically? Because I look at them, I love the individual talent, but both of these teams lost in the first round of the playoffs last year. Collectively, as a group, they haven't won a ton. Where do you stand on those two teams that should be potential number one seeds?
Yeah, I think that both of them have they're going to have to overcome a little bit of experience, but they have been in tough play. You know, Utah's been against Denver last year. They've been in tough playoff series before that. So I give them some credit there. It's not just brand new to them. Denver, well, I mean, let's start with Philadelphia. What Philadelphia's advantage is, first off, they get the one seed. They're going to be playing – Miami's playing a lot better maybe, or whoever they're going to get in the second round. Miami's probably the biggest threat. They have played better and, you know, and beat them the other night. But you get a lesser team. You let Milwaukee and Brooklyn beat each other up on the other side of the bracket, right? Let them go six or seven hard games and then roll out. And the other advantage they have is that nobody in the East has an answer for Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid has been so good when healthy this year. The idea is that he'll be able to carry that over and you'll be able to run the offense through him enough. So I think that that's the chance. I think that they're on the right side of the bracket and things can break for them that way. With Utah, this is a really good ensemble team, and it's really tough for ensemble teams to win where you don't – look, if you've got LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant or Steph Curry, you know what? If your fifth best player has an off night, so what? It just doesn't matter. Like, just, those guys will own you, and just it opens so many other things up. Utah's not that. With all due respect to Donovan Mitchell, Utah's not that team. They need every. You know, Joe Ingles has to click. Jordan Clarkson has to click. Everything's got to come together most nights, and they have some versatility. And that said, this is a really good, disciplined three-point shooting team that knows what it wants to do, that adds, with Mike Conley, some offensive versatility now. And remember, they have Bogdanovich back this year. They didn't have him last year. I think they're capable. I think a lot of things have to go right for them. They're a little more like, you know, the year Dallas won the title or Miami making the finals last year, where they probably need a few more things to break their way, but they're capable.
Kurt, I have my John Starks jersey on and my my Walt Frazier Puma shoes on. I'm going down to Manhattan.
Throw, by the way.
I'm going down to Manhattan for the Knicks championship parade. Look, they're not going to win it, but they've been a lot of fun this year.
Oh my God,
really hope. I want Brooklyn in the first round. If we're going to not win it, let's just go up against Brooklyn and do it. I want to see them in the first round.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yes.
That would be so much fun. The Knicks have been not only just a great story, but this is the first time in a long time where we're like, not only are they good, but they are sustainably going forward good. Like, what they did this year wasn't flukish. They can defend now. They've got Julius Randle took a leap forward, and he is going to win Most Improved Player, and he's probably going to end up on an All-NBA team. All-NBA is just, as always, it's just brutal when you get to the third team, but probably ends up on an All-NBA team. You feel like they, you know, with Quickley and R.J. Barrett and all these guys, you feel like, and draft picks come up, you feel like they can take a step forward. They got cap space. Like, this is a team on the rise, and it's just great to see. It's great to see the energy in New York, and it's just one of those things. I think it's, as great as the Nets are and as much talent as they have, and let's be honest, they stand a very legitimate chance of winning this whole thing this year. The energy the Knicks bring to New York is just different. Like, that's the only other – I'm trying to think. It's like in Los Angeles, it's like you can – the Clippers are phenomenal, and they don't – it's a Laker town. It's
yeah.
And I think New York is a Knicks town, man, and it is buzzing.
So, Kurt, real quick before we let you go, I actually want to follow up on that and just ask a real dumb question. For people that do not follow the NBA on a day-to-day basis, you mentioned Julius Randle. What has happened this year? Is it strictly a Tibbs thing? Because I'll open the floor to you, but it's not often that year six, year seven, whatever it is for Julius Randle, a guy makes a jump like he did this year.
You hit the nail on the head. He's 26. Guys don't make – by the time they're 24, 25, when they've been in the league about 5 years, you kind of know who they are. And guys get marginally better each year or work on a part of their game, but people don't make this kind of leap. What clicked for him, on top of playing better defense, what really clicked is his outside shooting, his jump shot and three-point shot, it just started working. And I don't – it just started going in, and it's not like he didn't put in reps before or something, but for whatever reason, he jumped from 29% from three last year to 41, 42%. I didn't look today at what he's at, but over 40% this year. Well, then that opens everything up. Now you've got to come out on him, and Julius Randle's always been able to put the ball on the floor. He is a bully going inside. And the other thing that happened is now that you have to come out on him and he could drive, and they've got some guys around him, he's a good playmaker. His passing skills, his ability to create offense for others is better than expected. And Tibbs, to his credit, where he gets credit in this, is he looked at his offense and said, well, I guess we're running everything through Randle. He's our best player. Like, he's the best guy. But Randle took that on and thrived in that role where far better than expected.
Yeah, no doubt about that. He's Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer and manager at Pro Basketball Talk. You can tweet him at Basketball Talk. Kurt, thanks for staying up with us. Enjoy. We'll catch up with you later on.
I look forward to it, guys. Take care. You know, it's amazing how much better the show runs when you two are in there. I'm just saying.
Whoa! We're the Julius Randle and Emmanuel Quickley of Fox Sports Radio. That's all I can say.
Take care, Kurt. I love it. Kurt Helin, everybody. Lead NBA. I knew I liked that guy and manager at Pro Basketball Talk. We'll mention some of that. I want to get into my Knicks. We'll talk more about the Lakers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, just a couple of things on what Kurt had to say. First of all, to the Clippers losing to the Rockets, is that an important game? Because they're fighting it out with Denver. They're going to be in a virtual tie now with the Nuggets. I don't know who gets the tiebreaker. I'll have to go ahead and look that one up. I think it's the Clippers. I'm not 100% sure on that. But you would think that they'd go all out to win that game. It's like they wanted to lose to avoid playing the Lakers in the first round. Now, the Lakers are the seventh seed, but can easily catch Portland if they win both their last two games, and Portland loses to Denver, I believe, on Sunday. I hope you got all of that, Torres. But it's like the Clippers don't even care. End up third, fourth, it doesn't make a difference for them. The Lakers desperately don't want to finish at number seven. They want to move up one more spot, you know?
What I think it speaks to is what Kurt Heelan said a moment ago. This is a team that, as they've been constructed over the last year, year and a half, 2 years, every time that you start to buy into them, something happens. They take a bad loss. They blow a lead in the playoffs. They do this. They do that. And this is who they have been over the last year and a half. Now, could it be a one game deal? Yes. Does everyone have bad nights in the NBA? Of course. But then I would also say, on the flip side, if you're trying to duck the Lakers, if you're really a championship contender, should you be afraid of the Lakers? Shouldn't you want the challenge of playing the Lakers? I don't know. But to me, I do think it speaks to who this team is and the concerns that we've had about them since day one.
You know, I was thinking about who, you look at the teams in the East and the West, two coaches that should get considered Coach of the Year honors that won't get it because their teams are 6 and 7 seeds. The Knicks with Thibodeau and my best friend from high school, Steve Kerr, with the Warriors at the number 8 seed. I mean, what he's done with the Warriors with no Klay and no Kevin Durant has been unbelievable. The fact that he's even got him above 500, I can't believe that, Torres.
Do you really think that Tom Thibodeau is not a contender for Coach of the Year?
Well,
he's number two. He's number two in the betting markets behind Monty Williams from Phoenix.
Really? Well, I thought they were. What about Doc? Is he in there too, or no?
Doc is in fourth right now.
Really? I'm surprised about that.
I would probably have Doc a little bit higher. So it's according to Points Bet. Monty Williams is one. He is the prohibitive favorite at -175. Tom Thibodeau at number two. Snyder at number three. And Dr.
I would have said, I would have put my money on Quinn Snyder. I'm shocked about that, especially with the year that they're having and what 51 wins. I'm shocked that he's not the favorite going in.
I also think there's something to be said, and this is something we argued about with the MVP last week on our show on Saturday, is. Part of why Tom Thibodeau should be considered, Utah has made the playoffs before, no disrespect to them. Philadelphia has made the playoffs before, they've won playoff games. Now, they obviously bottomed out last year under Brett Brown, got swept by the Celtics in the first round. The Knicks have been pretty bad for a long time.
Yes.
And so if I had a vote, it would probably go to Monty Williams. But I do think Tom Thibodeau should be number two, and if he won the award, I wouldn't be upset.
No love for my best friend from high school, Steve Kerr? By the way, is he called in yet today or no?
You got to ask producer Lee. Yeah. I'm busy doing a show here. I'm busy carrying for 4 hours, carrying the whole show here. So.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll call in once the season's over. He's a little busy right now, so I'm sure once
so,
the season's
huh?
done, he'll be calling on in.
This game is a trip, by the way. Nico Mannion from your Arizona Wildcats is balling out right now. But I'll give Steve Kerr credit. It hasn't been an easy deal with Klay out again. Obviously, they're a different organization without KD. I don't think he should be Coach of the Year, but I do think he's done a pretty good job this year bringing along guys around Steph and Draymond. So
this is why I love the play-in game, because I'm all in if it's going to be the Lakers or Golden State in that first game, 7 against an 8 seed. Matter of fact, that probably would have better ratings than it depends on who's in the Eastern Conference Finals or Western Conference Finals. I can't wait for that one. And even though you could lose, you'll still have a chance to get on in and still be one of the top eight. I just think that NBA fans want to see that, and that'd be a great matchup there, you know?
I will say, when the first – this was first talked about, just in general, last year. I thought it was a little gimmicky. It's kind of weird. The playoffs are fine the way it was. And then I watched that Grizzlies Trailblazers game, and it was awesome. Now, this year's a little bit different with the way the seven seed works and this and all that. I still think it's pretty cool having the best players in the world playing a one-game lose-and-go-home scenario in some cases. Yeah, I was more into the play-in game than I thought I would be last year.
Yeah, because I didn't even know the way they were doing it until I figured it out. I thought it was going to be 7 against 10, 8 against 9, the winners play, and then you get the two winners, and they move on. I thought like the Lakers and Golden State would have to win one over Memphis, and San Antonio would have to win two, and that's how we would get the other two teams.
Yes, it is a little confusing. I don't want to be over-exaggerative here. You don't need like a degree from Harvard to figure it out, but it is different than I was expecting. But to your point a minute ago,
yeah,
Lakers, Warriors. It couldn't have worked out much better for the NBA in this particular case.
No, that's what everybody wants to see. Nobody really cares about Memphis, San Antonio. The East, though, you still have Boston and Charlotte or Boston and Indiana. And the other one could be Charlotte, Indiana, and the Wizards, who have been, they were on fire for a while. I never saw that coming, you know?
I will say, the other thing that I'm actually genuinely excited about these playoffs this year, because it's nice to have some new blood. As Kurt said, there's so many teams that can win it. But even the idea of having a LaMelo Ball in the Charlotte Hornets in the playoffs, Westbrook and the Wizards potentially getting in, although they're obviously in the play-in game. You know, you have in the West, we've talked about the Phoenix Suns. I'm excited to have a little bit of new blood in these. And the Knicks, obviously. Obviously, how could I forget the Knicks? Trae Young and the Hawks. I'm excited for the new blood that's going to be the playoffs this year.
All right, when we get back, the Sager comes on in. Some of the stories we haven't gotten to, we'll get to that coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
All right, good evening, everyone. Aaron Torres, Arnie Spanier. We're in for the guys, Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon. Getting through this Friday night, 14th day of May. Let's check in with the Sager, see what's going on out there that we haven't hit. What's happening to Sager?
A lot of NBA stuff as we head toward this final weekend of the regular season. And yes, Denver does have the tiebreaker over the Clippers. Denver
That's
beat
my
them
figure. So the
April
Clippers
1st
have to lose
and May 1st.
They have to lose to Oklahoma City, I guess, then to actually lose a spot then.
Of course, we thought it was impossible the Clippers would lose to Houston tonight because the Rockets had lost 7 in a row. So the next opponent, Oklahoma City, they have lost 9 in a row. So that's the matchup to end the Clippers season.
I think Oklahoma City's like, 1-26, and their only victory was against the Boston Celtics on the road. How about that?
Boston, who's going to have to be in a playoff game, hosting it, but in a playing game next week. The Clippers, for sure, cannot face the Lakers in round one. The Clippers will be the 4 seed if somehow they also lose at OKC this weekend.
Right.
If the Clippers win and Denver loses Sunday night, then the Clippers are 3. Of course, you know how they have.
They can't be the first round. Like you said, the Clippers could be 3. If the Lakers win out and Portland loses to Denver, the Lakers will be number 6.
Dallas is for sure clinched a playoff berth, though, tonight. And I was going to say with the Sunday night, it's not just every team playing, but there was the report last weekend that they were all going to be day games, maybe not at the same time, but they would all. No, they're not all day games. In fact, there's mostly night games, including the Lakers finale and the Portland finale. If the Mavericks win this weekend, they're the 5 seed.
Right.
If the Blazers win Sunday night, they're the 6 seed. The Lakers have to win Saturday and Sunday and hope the Blazers lose on Sunday night.
Very possible, though. It is very possible.
There's a lot of 9 p.m. tip-offs on Sunday night.
That is correct, including the Lakers with these 2 road games, and LeBron James with the ankle will be questionable for the afternoon game at Indiana tomorrow. He did practice today. Anthony Davis listed as probable. Lakers technically a half game out of the 6th seed going into tonight, but they lose the tiebreaker to Dallas head-to-head. They lose the tiebreaker to Portland head-to-head. Those are the 2 teams they were chasing to avoid the play-in games. And again, for those unaware, the play-in games with seeds 7 through 10 in each conference start Tuesday. the 9 or 10 seeds would have to win both games next week to advance to the first round of the playoffs. The
right.
7 and 8 seeds would only have to win one. But we are looking at, if the season ended now, a Lakers versus Golden State play-in game.
Great.
And we do know now the times, well, not the times, but the channels and the dates for the play-in games next week. TNT will have the games in the East Tuesday and Thursday. That includes a Celtic home game. The 7-8 matchup in the East on Tuesday night for Boston, mm-hmm. and also a Thursday game. Of course, the loser of that Boston game gets that one last chance to win and get in. That's going to be Thursday. So the East, TNT, Tuesday, Thursday.
Well, they're going to drag this thing out. Boy, it's like an extra week of playoffs on this.
And then that means the West is Wednesday, Friday games.
Geez.
And then finally, the NBA playoffs will start on May 22nd, the Saturday. And they'll go as long as July 22nd, so hope you're seated, and I'll have a lot of snacks with you. It was just yesterday the NBA finally announced the start times for this weekend's games to end the regular season. So anyway, it's finally going to get here. And this weekend, by the way, the Basketball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies are officially tomorrow night. And officially today, the Minnesota Timberwolves agreed.
By the way, the second, did you see the Kobe exhibit that they're going to be putting up?
Yeah, at the Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. And, of course, he has a wife and daughter there accepting on his behalf.
Right.
In fact, the daughter wearing the blazer with the other entries to the Hall of Fame class, by the way.
I saw it on Twitter. Now, is that the whole exhibit or is that just part of it? I didn't know if they were showing the whole thing.
Yeah, I could not tell. No.
Well, because I'm saying to myself, I like it a lot because they had some cool jerseys. They had his sneakers, all that. But they didn't have pictures of him going against, like, Michael Jordan or, stuff like that. I was hoping they'd have some of that. So I don't know if that was the whole exhibit or not. You know?
And isn't it Jordan who's going to be
inducting him, essentially? I wanted to see him against, in action, just not him by himself. So I'm hoping I didn't see the whole exhibit there. I'm waiting to see.
Keep in mind, of course, he has a permanent spot in the Basketball Hall of Fame as of tomorrow as well, not just this exhibit. And, for those who don't remember, we didn't have an induction, kind of like what the NFL went through in baseball. We didn't have an induction because of COVID last year, and so things were pushed back a year, and so they're kind of combining classes. But, man, that class, it was talked about the show before this, to have Garnett and Duncan and Bryant in the same class. That is just ludicrous. Anyway, Minnesota Timberwolves officially announced an agreement today to sell the team to Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie. Still needs league approval, but A-Rod is an equal business partner with that guy. This is not like when Magic Johnson signed a $50 million check to join the Dodgers ownership group, but the Dodgers sold for $2 billion. So, it's not quite that. A-Rod is putting a ton of money into this, so it's the NBA, the WNBA.
I didn't know he had that much money. I knew he had a lot, but not that much.
Well, if he was
money.
Bidding on the Mets, for crying out loud, that's a lot of money to be had, right?
I guess,
all that Shark Tank money or something like that.
I was going to say, him and his ex were bidding on the Mets. Let's not forget that.
He's got money.
Talk about a divorce proceeding. Oh, my goodness, the lawyers that would have had to get involved in that one. But anyway.
Yeah, the Mets were not, I think, still bothers him. Even though he's got a team, but in a different sport, I would guess that still bothers him. That he didn't get a baseball team A and a New York baseball team B. And updating the New York Mets, the 7-game winning streak is over. They lost 3-2, blew a lead at Tampa Bay. Francisco Lindor of the Mets, 0-4, 3 strikeouts.
He's
batting
horrible.
195 with the batting average and the new contract.
I'm glad they're not paying him a lot of money, though. So that's good. Only like 300-something mil. All right, thanks a lot to Sager. 2 hours are in the books. We're at halftime of the show. We'll come back, reset a little bit. We got to talk about Deshaun Watson and give you the latest on that. We'll get back into the NFL schedules, all that coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio.